Prabhu, there's some questions.
There is a series of questions on Prapana Javanamritam. Yes. First is, in Prapana Javanamritam it's written that the enjoying spirit forces one to be associated with a lower section to control and enjoy. So
I need to hear that again.
The enjoying spirit
forces enjoying spirit?
Enjoying spirit. Spirit forces one to be associated with a lower section to control and enjoy. So why it's saying here forces? Or how can we understand that this enjoying spirit forces us to associate with this lower section? Lower section, yes.
I need to see that. It doesn't sound right.
Okay.
Is there a book there?
No.
That's a Bhagavad Gita sloka. Where is it at in Prapana Javanamritam?
In foreword.
In the foreword?
Foreword, yes.
Okay, so... And where in the foreword?
So...
Life, subjective, maybe scientific, that? All right. You'd have to show me where it is. As I said before...
Yes, maybe second question, then we find this.
Because I said before, understand, there are things that are spoken directly by Srila Guru Maharaj,
yes.
And then there are interpretations of what he's saying. So these are not his direct words. So of what you told me in the first question, it sounds very similar to a Bhagavad Gita sloka, prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sabhasyaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate, and other slokas that are saying that what we think we're doing is actually, says kartaham iti prakriti kriyamanani ahankara vimudatma, it's ahankar, false ego, that makes us think we're doing something that's actually being carried out by the modes of material nature. But if I don't see something, an accurate representation of what is there, then I can't really address it. Like, but an example is like addiction. Once someone is addicted to something, they think they're making choices. Or directing themselves, but actually they're being compelled under the influence of the addiction to do certain things. So their criterion for what is desirable, undesirable, acceptable, unacceptable is really being dictated by the addiction that they have. So the soul in illusion, deluded, under the influence of ahankar, false ego, is doing so many things that are actually just the modes of nature playing themselves out. And we're identifying with that as being ourselves. And thematically, this is consistent with Srila Guru Maharaj repeatedly saying that we are, our actual self is buried under acquired prejudices and acquired tendencies. I mentioned this the last time I spoke. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying, the prejudices we acquired without thinking. But when it comes time to leave them, we hesitate and we have to think about it so much. because we've come to identify it as ourselves. Just as someone who's, we all experience this. Whatever country we're born in, we think that's part of our identity. It's peculiar, especially for devotees, right? Who in one sense know better. They know, at least theoretically, about the spiritual identity that transcends nationality. But we can see still, what is it called? Parabdha, aparabdha, karma, mentioned in the Padma Purana, dealt with by Rupa Goswami in the Bhaktivedanta Sindhu. There's like future karma, past, but there's like what you have in this life. Born in a particular country, embracing a particular national identity, that kind of thing. We think it is a part of ourselves. We're identifying it as a part of ourselves, but we know, at least theoretically, that spiritually it has nothing to do with ourselves. Yeah, we're still compelled to think of ourselves in some way, as a Russian, an American, someone from Ukraine, from India, from China. And it's natural. So, and it's a fine point. So there is some in India, they will say, yes, through these devotional activities and spiritual culture, you can free yourself from the future karma and the past. But what you have in this life, you're stuck with that. And that leads some there to say, like the Pandas and Puri, they would say, in your next life, you can enter the temple. But not now. This life, you can't undo that. Right? But in your next life, they say that. And Guru Maharaj liked to quote Achyutananda's response to them when they presented that to him. And he said to them, you know, as a clever repartee, he said, oh, then, in your opinion, which is a greater power, the contaminating effect of sinful activities or the purifying power of the holy name of Krishna? Which is greater? So really, he defeated them by saying that. Still, they will say, yes, but in this lifetime, you did so many sinful activities previously, so this body has to, that was built based upon that, built upon it, needs to be dissolved. And now we see you're practicing, you're doing so many nice Krishna conscious things. In your next life, you'll be blessed, you know, you'll be in the Guru Kula. Like Sudarshan Prabhu. He was born in a devotee family, went to the Guru Kula. But the Vaishnavas, they don't accept this. They say that when we say Kleshagni, Subhada, Moksha, Laguta Krit, Sudurlabha, Sandra Ananda Visheshatma, Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa, it's the opinion of Rupa Goswami and the devotees, the power of Krishna Bhakti is so great, everything will be finished. And the example he gives, like the seeds that are fried will not sprout. Fried seeds will not sprout. So the Vaishnavas do not accept this idea that you'll have to wait another lifetime to fully embrace Krishna conception. Anyway, on the basis of what I've heard, these are some of the things that come to my mind. But I need to see the exact place and in English. Yeah. The normal wholesome. Let me just see. or the normal, wholesome, and happy plane is in the life of dedication, without exploiting or borrowing anything from the environment and without attempting to artificially renounce it. One who is sincere to dedicate himself naturally comes in contact with a higher and more subtle plane of life. By his readiness to give and serve, he will attain to a higher society and achieve appropriate master. That means sadhu sangha and sadguru. The enjoying spirit forces one to be associated with the lower section to control and to enjoy. And that's what we're talking about. The modes of nature, that lower section can mean either the modes of nature or those under the influence of the modes of nature. That's what it means. And the renunciation, so that's saying, that's the enjoying spirit. We were talking about this the last time around. Bhog. Then what is next? Renunciation spirit. Tyag. Allures even the scholar with its prestigious superiority over exploitation. The jnanis, what does it say? Koti karma nishta madye ek jnani shrestha. One jnani is better than 10 million karmis because they figured it out about exploitation. But it is more dangerous, just as half-truth is more dangerous than falsehood. As it is difficult to awaken someone from the deepest possible sleep, the liberationists may remain for incalculable time within their cell of non-differentiated liberation. That's aruhya krichchena param padam tatak patanti ato nadrita jasmai rangriya. Not taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, which means seva, service, the seva mayoyam loka. Then, in their so-called samadhi, Gurumaya said, they've sealed themselves off from any opportunity to have sadhu sangha, Vaishnava sangha, Vaishnava seva, and make progress. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, of the two, it's better to be a materialist, because a materialist still has the possibility of coming in connection with Vaishnavas, where the renunciationist school, they've cut themselves off from that opportunity. They may remain for incalculable time within their cell of non-differentiated liberation. Ramananda Sambhad, Mahaprabhu and Ramananda, what happens to them, such persons? It says, stavra jangama. They take birth as trees of extensive longevity, like in California. They have redwood trees that are said to be 5,000 years old, 2,000, 3,000 years old. So it's a living being, and stavra jangama means non-moving. 5,000 years. And what other type? Mountain. Sometimes told to be jewel, gem. But the higher existence will invite the service of one who desires to purely dedicate himself without remuneration. Antya Lila 20, last chapter. Das kori beton mori deho premadan. Beton means salary. Pure devotion is not, has no motive for remuneration. It says, Das kori beton mori deho premadan. If anything, prem, love, affection. And when prem comes, Guru Maharaj introduces the concept of compound interest, meaning instead of enjoying the interest that accrued for the capital invested, the capital being seva, taking our energy, investing it in seva, service, ecstasy comes in the form of interest. It's reinvested, compounded interest. It's put into the capital, so there's greater serving capital. And ad infinitum, so the devotee becomes a more substantial servitor. Hare Krishna. Is there some other question on this?
Yeah. Surprisingly, we can find in...
And one thing I would just like to say in this regard too is, whenever we hear something, as we become acquainted with what Srila Guru Maharaj is, his ontological system and his representation of things, then even if we hear something where the language is a little altered or different, which is likely to happen in the case of foreign translation and such, but if we hear that, then we have to think, what does Guru Maharaj say systematically, consistently? And then we'll see, that's the key to unlocking the meaning of something that surprises us, or as I say, the vocabulary is a little different, the wording or the structure. If we think, what is Guru Maharaj's ontological system and how he consistently represents these things, then we'll say, oh, we'll recognize. So there, Guru Maharaj says exploitation, renunciation, dedication. One is of his themes that he speaks about continuously, frequently. It's thematically identifiable with him. Yes, so you're saying?
Also in the foreword to Prapanacharanamritam, there is explanation of the verse from Bhagavad Gita 15:16 about Kshara and Akshara. And it is saying here, in the Bhagavad Gita, mutable Kshara and immutable Akshara existence are described, representing the personal and impersonal, the development and the basis, or differentiated and non-differentiated conceptions of general existence. The mutable is represented by the multitude of embodied living beings, while the immutable aspect is the great expanse of the all-accommodating absolute, the Brahman. So this devotee is asking, it's quite unusual explanation of this verse, because generally we understand that akshara and akshara means fallible and infallible, but it is some new sense, new revelation from Srila Shukadeva Maharaj appears here.
Are there more on this, or this is the last one?
Last one.
Because I don't want to, sure, like, sit and I have to study the book and explain what is written in a book for a question. Really, are there other questions? Because with all due respect, it will require that I have to study this now. I'll agree with the person saying it's unusual.
Sure.
How about that? I agree.
This question from Lalita Didi, Orsk. Scriptures and teachers teach us to turn our eyes to the heart. In the Absolute Harmony book of Srila Shukadeva Maharaj, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to direct all their attention to heart and live by feelings, but not mind. As the scriptures says that mind is material element. And how we can distinct between these genuine feelings, and how to distinguish the origin of the feelings from the mind, so general senses, how we can distinct the mind from our heart? Yes.
Well, most likely we can't. That's at the basis of this question. So we're dependent upon superior association. The scriptures say, Hridayena binugato yo dharmastha nibodhata. the heart will recognize what is in its interest. Guru Maharaj qualifies this by saying that we have to be earnest and sincere because there's no guarantee. And we have a strong tendency towards self-deception. So factoring in that the basis of our present situation is self-deception or misidentifying what is actually in the interest of the heart. Then we put ourselves under the guidance of Guru and Vaishnav, Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vaishnav. Those statements, they should run in parallel to one another. They should corroborate one another. What he's referring to is, you know, not the New Age heart, but spiritual heart. Shraddha, sincerity, right? Divine revelation. Not merely that I feel strongly about something. We know we can misread others, misread the environment, misread circumstances. So we're aspiring servitors. First and foremost is the will of Krishna. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam. That, yeah, that I'm thinking of. And the tapite deva padam bhujadvaya prasada leshano grihita evahi. We're dependent on mercy. Brahma, these are from the prayers of Brahma, Brahma Stuti. Brahma admits, janantu eva janantu kim bahutya sume vibho manaso vavaso vacho vaibhavam tavagotra. It's beyond what I can estimate with my mind and intellect. He's saying, others, they may say they know much about Krishna. As far as I'm concerned, I don't have much to say in this regard. Because he is beyond, Krishna consciousness is beyond the mind and intellect to assess or verify. So then we're dependent upon Guru, Vaishnav, Sadhu, Shastra to make these determinations. And of what they express, that which they express that resonates with us, then naturally we will follow that. Hearing from them, something resonates in the heart. That's what Hridayena Bhyanu Gato Yo Dharmastat Nibodhita is telling us. What we hear from them, it resonates in the heart, and then we're with folded palms and a bowed head, we're following that. Realizing all along, we can be mistaken not to have, be overly confident in our own judgment or assessment of things. And we see this through the scriptures, the devotees approaching other devotees who they consider to be superior in terms of experience and realization and reliability, and they inquire from them. They guhya makyati prichtati. They inquire from them and they reveal their hearts to them. They don't trust their own judgment. Why? Udared atmanatmanam, atmama avasadeid, atmaiva hyatmano bandhur, atmaiva ripuratmana. They know the mind can be enemy. Srila Saraswati Thakur said the mind is like an evil guardian. Jiva, jivatma, is the soul, and the mind is not the soul. But we have a tendency to think of our minds and ourselves, soul, self, heart, as being synonymous when they're not. like his song, Dushtaman Tumikishe, Kevala Kaitava, the Vaishnava K song. He said, my dear mind, what kind of a Vaishnava are you? Who is speaking? If he's addressing the mind, and we have other prayers where devotees address the mind. So through spiritual practice, and faithfulness, fidelity, the mind can be made more friendly to us. But we're warned by Krishna to be careful about it, to not identify with the mind, because its tendency, natural tendency, is to distract and to become absorbed in the mundane, robbing jiva of her real wealth, which is serving potential. Bhumirapo analobayu kamano buddhirevacha ahankara itiyame bina prakritirastadha. Interesting. Guru Maharaj used this verse when talking about prakriti sahajism to remind us. What does it say? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. But then mind, intelligence, and ego, they're all prakriti. What does the next verse say? Apareyam itastvanyam prakritim vidime param. But there's a superior type of prakriti, or energy, shakti, jiva-bhuta mahabaho, yayidam daryate jagat. So Guru Maharaj uses these two slokas to establish what is genuinely spiritual is above the eight elements that include mind, intellect, and ego. The flaw of prakriti sahajism is to think by reconditioning these mundane elements that they will generate something spiritual. Then spirit would be the product of matter. Right? If spirit can be generated by mind, then it's matter. Mind is a material element. It may be subtle, but it's material. The mind and intellect. Therefore, gyan cannot generate bhakti. Can analyze the the generic spirit and the mundane, but it cannot approach bhakti, the intellect. Srila Saraswati Thakur, one example, he told the bees on the glass jar of honey. They're trying to taste the honey, but the glass barrier is there. That glass barrier is the intellect. He also told of something I saw a version of in my own life when they have, where farmers live, they have a county fair. You know, they bring like all the animals there and give out prizes and they do different things. And in India, they use a bamboo pole and bananas, but where I live, they had a telephone pole, a wooden telephone pole, covered in grease. Right? Like, you know, grease that you use in automobiles. And at the top of that pole is a $100 bill. And at the bottom is like a pigsty. And so the idea, you give them some money, then you can try and climb that pole and get the $100 bill. And then everyone sits around and watches as one person, they climb up a little way and then they slide down into the mud and the pigsty. And everyone's laughing at them. And then someone else, they come and they try to go up the pole a little bit further and then they slide down. Saraswati Thakur said, that's the mental intellectual approach to this plane. That's aruhya krishchena param padam tatak patanti arho anadvita jasmai rangraya. Only through devotion, and that's the beauty of it. That means if someone is not a scholar, is not mentally proficient even, but they have something in the heart that's real and genuine, then they're a devotee and they'll be recognized. When Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan many, many years ago in the early 1970s, he would give some talks at the Radha Damodar Mandir and the courtyard where Rupa Goswami's Samadhi and Bhajan Kutir. And at the time, while giving one talk, some lady would go, the Jamuna still flowed. Some lady would go with a container and bring Jamuna water and bring that for the deity Seva every day. And while giving his talk, Prabhupada said, like, that is her ticket. This simple act of devotion she's doing every day in service. Right? She's not a jnani or a yogi. The Braja Gopis, that's hidden in their prayer. They say, Ahus chate nalina nava padara vindam yogeshwari hridivijanda magada bodhe. Sangsara kupa patito taranavalambam geham jushamapi manasuriyat sadana. They're telling Krishna when he had written before, they're meeting him when he comes from Dwaraka to Kurukshetra. And you wrote us a letter once telling us we should learn yoga, learn how to meditate. We should take up yoga practice and learn to subdue our senses and mind, and then we can think of you. And this suggestion didn't make us happy, it made us angry. We're not yogis, we're not jnanis, we're not karmis. We didn't come to you because we're saying, oh, we've done so many wrong things in the world, in life, so where, my Lord, please help. All these impending sinful reactions are chasing after me, the way sinful reaction personified chased after Indra in the sixth canto. You've seen that? My friend, Puskar, he did the painting. You see Indra running, and there's this ugly old lady. She's sinful reaction personified. She's running after Indra. I watched him paint that, and Indra takes shelter in the stem of a lotus flower for like 1,000 celestial years. He's hiding in the stem of a lotus flower, and she's going, Indra! She's running after him. And that leads, I mean, it's a part of the Chitraketu pastime, but they're saying, we're not like that. That we're so afraid of the wrong we've done in life and lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. We're approaching your lotus feet for shelter from these impending karmic reactions. We're not like that. We're not like yogis who sit and meditate. They're trying to see you in the heart. Hare Krishna. Okay, all right. And not like the jnanis. What is the Brahma Sangita sloka? Pantastu koti shatavat sarasam pragamyo bayur atapi manaso munipungavanam. Govindamari purusham tamahamadami. By mental prowess, speed, the speed of the mind. Well, that's how you can approach the infinite, at the speed of the mind. No. What do they say? They're disguised. We're patita tavanava geham jusham patita tavanava. We're fallen householders. We don't have any chance for these other things, neither are we interested in them. What do we want? Like the lady who Prabhupada's disciple spoke in Guru Maharaj's mat, Chaitanya Saraswat mat in the Nath Mandir. Guru Maharaj spoke something, other Gaudiya mat Maharajas spoke there too. And then nicely, they had like the from the Western world, they went to see. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said they'll come, now they've come. Something you can say? And one lady, an original disciple of Srila Prabhupada, she said, "We're being given chance to have a family life with Krishna." Guru Maharaj talked about that for 30 years. Or seems like 30, maybe it was 20. If that was in the 70s, all right, like 15, 20. Oh, because Gurudev talked about it too. So. But for a long time, it moved him so much to hear that. As he said, when he heard from the lips of one of Prabhupada's other disciples, union and separation. I mean, it's a classic Guru Maharaj saying, but they said something along those lines. Guru Maharaj quoted that. It stuck with him, who's the spiritual expert at 92, saying, "I'm a student and forever I shall remain a student." He would quote the students. If they said something devotionally substantial, it touched his heart, he kept that. As did Gurudev. Recognition from a Vaishnava, that's substantial recognition. The indication, there's some devotion there. He marked it, noted it. Because it's like what's coming from the heart. He's very happy, it's making him happy. Some comes from so far and they're expressing something in, you know, mood of Braja Gopis. We can say Gopi Bhav, that means heart of a Gopi too. Gopi heart expression. Guru Maharaj is very happy to hear that. He said, "We're being given a chance to have a family life with Krishna." That's what they say. Radharani and Braja Gopis. So she says, you're talking about mind and heart, what's the difference? Radharani says, "Anyara hridoyaman moraman brindavan." Normally, heart and mind, you may take it to be the same. People think like that. She said, "But my heart and Vrindavan are the same." It's very mysterious. My heart and Vrindavan are the same. So when you're saying, "Krishna, I want your lotus feet to come back to Vrindavan. I want your lotus feet and my heart." And Krishna is saying, "I cannot withdraw them from your heart, actually." Is mayi bhaktirhi bhutanam amritatyaya kalpate distya madasin matsneho bhavatinam madapana matsneho. The type of affection you have. I said in Bhagavad Gita, ye yatamam prabhadyante tamstatayva bhajamyaham. As you surrender to me, I surrender to you. But here, I'm unable to reciprocate. What I found in your hearts, I don't possess the kind of wealth that could repay you. Naparayeham nirvaja samyujam. Let the cliche where it's really apt, here it says, let virtue is its own reward. They're saying, I cannot repay you for the type of love you have in your hearts for me. The karmis want me to get free from sinful reactions. The yogis want me, the gyanis want me. If they get me, they think they've got everything, and they have. He said, but from my point of view, that I am the object of the pure love, the Krishna prema, the prema that is in your hearts, I consider myself fortunate. Others consider themselves fortunate if they have a connection with me. I consider myself fortunate that I've got your association. That's what Krishna is saying to them. And Guru Maharaj said, when Radharani heard that, she was satisfied and told her group, now we can go. He'll be back in a few days. He never left us, actually. She just wanted to reassert their claim, copyright, trademark, Krishna. They own Krishna. Ramananda tells Mahaprabhu, they own Krishna. Without them, no one can, you can't get this seva. Krishna can't give it to you. Right? Radharani and her girlfriends, only they can do that. So the Gaudiya line is exclusive. And it's funny, Guru Maharaj said in this regard, he used the word bigoted. That's practically a dirty word in the modern world. You know, to be a bigot is an insult, right? But he was using it in a like a dictionary technical sense, saying so bigoted, and meaning exclusive, excluding everything else. The most exclusive plane, the means to connect everyone, that is all inclusive. But to the most exclusive plane, Radha Dasyam, in two words, the herald, the clarion call of the conclusion of the lectures of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Wherever he began, Guru said, inevitably he ended there with this. Jnana Shunya Bhakti, not tainted by the need to know. Right? Which implies on some level suspicion. Another Guru Maharaj's ism. Suspension leads to suspension. Suspicion leads to suspension. Suspicion leads to the suspension of faith. It's a faith-based transaction. Shradhan vito nushunaya datta varna yedyat. So, Guru Maharaj said very beautifully, so when Krishna said, I can't reciprocate what you have, then what am I to do? To become your canvasser. That's jari gaurana hoita, tabiki hoita, kemari taritam dehe, daritam dehe, radhar mahima prema rasasima jagata janatake. That Krishna will descend with that wealth, Radha Bhava Duti Subalita, enveloped in the heart and halo, and he'll canvas on behalf of Radharani and the Brajagopis. Rupa Goswami says, Sureshanam Durgam Gati Ativ Shayeno Panishadam Muninam Sarvas Pranatapatalinam Madhurima Vinir Yasa Premna Nikila Pasho Palambuja Disham Satchetanna kime punar vidushar ya shati padam. They're astonished to see. But the gods and goddesses are praying to have a drop of, to have a glimpse of Krishna. He's descended to spread the glories of their mistress. This is their observation. Krishna has been converted into a devotee of Krishna. That's the power of heart. So, Guru Maharaj says, faith is the halo of Radharani. That's what he means. That sort of illumination in the heart. What does it say? Sada hridaye spuratu va sachinandana. In the beginning of Charitamritam. May this be in the innermost region of your heart, this type of revelation. That devotion is so extraordinary, wonderful, heart-swallowing, that even Krishna is defeated by the heart of Srimati Radharani and all of its extensions, Krishna consciousness. Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa. All attractive Krishna Madan Mohan Krishna. Everyone in this world is bewildered by Madan, Cupid, right? Freud, the erotic principle, the driving principle of material existence. That's the perverted reflection of spiritual existence. And Adi Rasa, Madhura Rasa, the driving principle of spiritual existence. And all of, and its outcome, it's the Adi Rasa, the Mukhya Rasa. So that means Vatsalya, Sakya, Dasya, Shanta, they come from that. It's not to be isolated. It's the original, Adi Rasa. How beautiful is that? How encouraging is that? So everyone, and that's why this world is like this. When something was brought to the attention of Gurudev in this regard, once he's saying about something, he said, oh, well, considering what Krishna is like, then we can understand this world. The perverted aspect, how prominent that is. It's dry, all this environment, this ambient sound that maybe the people can't hear, but we can hear. It's the driving principle behind all this. They're not just sitting around going, oh, I think I'll whistle tonight, all night. How about you? I've been doing it for 18 hours, just never get tired of it. It's a mating, it's mostly mating. That's why they make all these sounds. You know, we find it pleasant to the human ear to hear the birds singing, this, that, and the other thing. I'm not saying it's the only thing they sing about, but it's mostly what they sing about. What do humans sing about? What are most human songs about? They're also love songs. So then, if this world is like this, what is the original? But in a very beautiful way, as Guru Maharaj says, no sting. Right? So that Madan, Cupid, everyone, the whole animation here being driven by cupidity. Then Madan Mohan, what? Kandar Pakoti Kamani Avishesha Shobham, Krishna is so beautiful. 10 million, the charm of 10 million. That means ad infinitum. It's just a cutoff point, 10 million. Ad infinitum. Cupidity, full-blown cupidity, ad infinitum. That sort of attracting power. It's almost scary, in a sense, to think about it. If we think about our experience in this plane, that multiplied 10 million times, it makes you weak, faint. And then we're talking, that Krishna, Madan Mohan, how is Srimati Radharani known? Madan Mohan Mohini. She can bewilder and attract that Krishna. So what is her capacity? How her beauty, charm, sweetness? That she can bewilder Krishna, who is omniscient, becomes bewildered. Can they accommodate that? That the omniscient is bewildered in the presence of his beloved. And more, if she is Bartson, chastising him, says, that steals his mind away from the reverential hymns of the Vedas. It's so sweet to his ear, her chastisement. Others are trying to say something in praise. She's chastising Krishna, and he's saying, that is the sweetest thing to his ear. That captures his mind. (Clears throat) And what does Rupa Goswami write about Mahaprabhu? Raso dama kamar buddha maduro julatunur jatinam utangshas tarani kara vidyoti basana hiranyanam lakshmi varana bivavan angika rucha satchetanna kime punar apidishor yashati padam. Sing. Raso dama kamar buddha. How beautiful is Mahaprabhu? 10 million cupids in full blown cupidity. That sort of sweetness is there. So much so that his sannyas dress is glowing. His effulgence is so great. The cloth covering his mind, it also appears to be glowing. This beautiful radiance. And Gromar's, Svarna koti darpanava dehavarna gauravam padma parijata ganda banditanga saurabam koti kami murchitangri rupa rasa rangaram prema dama devameva nomi gaura sundaram. He takes this in another, I recall, rotating the jewel Govinda, different facets, coruscating flashes of brilliance and revelation. Guru Maharaj is showing in another way. He said, 10 million cupids will faint. They will swoon to see the beauty of Mahaprabhu. Svarnakoti darpanava dehovarna gauravam. His divine form looks like 10 million brilliant shining mirrors made of gold. And that's not like a means spiritual radiance. Again, Radha Bhava Duti Suvalita, on account of being enveloped by the heart of Srimati Radharani, this sort of halo is the outcome of that heart, the intensity of that heart. When Guru Maharaj spoke about golden volcano, it was shocking, actually. It's a shocking example. We've seen some maybe YouTube videos of like lava volcanoes. Recently, they had some in Hawaii. When you see what lava looked like, this is intense. He's saying what's going on in the heart is that intense, like a volcanic eruption of divine emotions. Right? That's his comparison. Streaming lava from the heart. It's, again, frightening. He said one man, when he heard about all these things described about Mahaprabhu and Charitamritam, he said, we don't want that. He was afraid. But nonetheless, it's described there. And some of it doesn't sound, superficially, it doesn't sound pretty because it's, what it's telling us is a level of intensity. In one direction, the joints separating by this much. That's the measurement, is that from here to here. So as the body becomes so long and it's giving pain to the hearts of the devotees, the ecstasy moves in another direction. All his limbs are going within his body, his head, his arms, legs, and he appears like this golden effulgent pumpkin. Again, it's causing pain in the hearts of his devotees. But so what did Guru Maharaj say? It's showing us how Krishna Prem can play a man like a doll. The way a doll cannot control its own movements. Krishna Prem is playing the man like a doll. Kaviraj Goswami says he compares if you say the Lord's full of sweetness and recalling all these divine pastimes, then he says, the mad elephants of ecstasy are plundering the sugarcane fields of sweetness. And they're going insane as an outcome. They're destroying everything. It's very intense what is described there. Not like we see, you know, the smiling face of someone who, the classic stereotypical image of someone who's supposed to be spiritually advanced. And not to say they're not, but it has, it's light years away from this in terms of ecstasy. Brahmananda bhavedesha chet parada guni krita naiti bhakti sukhambodhe paramanu tulamapi. We're told those who have the realization of Brahmananda, like with the smile on the face, they, the greatest mundane pleasure, sexual pleasure, they have no interest in that. Was Jamuna Charja, Yadavadi Mama Cheta Krishna Padaravinde, Nava Navarasa Damuna Jata Runtumasi. He says, if I remember that, he gets a horrible reaction. So the Brahmananda, those who are relishing that, they look upon the highest material pleasure as something detestable. But what does Rupa Goswami say in the slok? Brahmananda bhavedesha chet parada guni krita. He said, if you take that Brahmananda and multiply it a trillionfold, it's not equal to a drop of the ecstasy of Krishna prema. That's the opinion of Rupa Goswami. Just that he can say that or express that should capture our hearts in terms of what possibility is there. That's what means avan manasagotra. It's beyond what the mind and intellect, and we're going to verify what is Krishna or Krishna consciousness with our mental and intellectual prowess. Jnane prayasam udapasanam anta eva. No, don't check your mind at the door when you approach, make your approach toward Krishna conception. Jivanti sanmukharitam. Sanmukharitam means hear from his devotees. Whatever your position is, just hear from Krishna's devotees. Everything we have, everything we're saying comes from Krishna's devotees. And these are the kind of things they're telling us. And if that can resonate in the heart, and we can realize that any appreciation for this, the least aspect of this, appreciation and service for the least aspect of this is infinitely greater than the highest aspect of ourselves, then we can move in the path of devotion, the devotional line, and have a bright future. Bhoktaram yagyatavasam sarvalokaheshvam. Everything's meant for Krishna's enjoyment, including us. Thank the Lord, including us. Not just everything else, but us too. But we're suspicious to be enjoyed by Krishna. We think somehow it's a losing proposition. Because we're riveted to the idea that we're subjects and everything's the object of my enjoyment. That's why Guru Mahārāja says, die to live. Give up that mentality. That mentality has to die if we're to live in the devotional plane where you live and thrive by giving, by self-sacrifice. And the yajna, what's offered and comes out with a new life. That's the idea. And our yajna is Sankirtan Yajna. Hare Krishna.